Good morning, brothers and sisters. We know that quite a number of us are missing vacationing somewhere else, but it doesn't matter. They would also look for opportunity to worship God where they are, even as we worship God right here. For we know that the Lord is already here, eager to meet with us. And as we look into the Word of God, I want to invite you to read together with me the passage for today. It is taken from Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 14 and ending at verse 23. This is a familiar passage to many of us who take communions from time to time. But we pray that even though, and especially because it is a familiar passage, we ask God to shine new light into our hearts so that we may today, by the help of the Holy Spirit, learn a little bit more about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, about his desire to have fellowship with us, and also about a great eternity banquet awaiting for us in his future kingdom. So people of God, let us read together in whatever language you prefer this passage from Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14. Let us read together. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruits of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, but the hand of him who is going to betray me will. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that this is your word, scriptures, and that it is food for our soul. It is strength for our everyday living. And because of that, we pray for a greater hunger for your word, for yourself. We also pray, Father God, for submissive and obedient heart. But Father God, most of all, we pray that you would lead us into your word, into your truth. And prepare for us, O Lord, a sumptuous banquet in our presence. Thank you, O Lord, for we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord's Supper is no ordinary meal. It is a celebration meal reserved only for the body of the Lord Jesus. I want to share with you some reminders about approaching the Lord's table. From time to time, it is very necessary and helpful for us to look at what the Bible has to say about communion or the Eucharist, and also the way or the manner in which we celebrate, lest we come knowingly or unknowingly with a business as usual mentality and therefore cheapen the grace of God. So today we're going to look from this passage written by Luke the physician. It is very easy for us to become casual about the Lord's table. It is very easy to become, so to speak, numb or somewhat insensitive to the great privilege it is to be invited to the Lord's table and to be partaker of his meal. We live today in a world, in a culture that highlights the absence, what we do not have or what we wish to have, or the absences in our lives. Perhaps you have said one of the following, or you have heard people reiterated it. I do not have this. You can fill in the blank yourself. If only I had that job. If only my spouse had been more patient. If only I have that car model. I wish I had better friends who understood me. I wish business would be better. So in the midst of all these absences, Holy Communion reminds us first and foremost about presence, more specifically, the presence of Christ. Let us look at Luke chapter 22 and also a number of ways so that we can participate in communion meaningfully and prayerfully. First of all, God's presence. In verse 15, Jesus said very clearly, I have eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I have eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you. Jesus eagerly waits to have this fellowship with you and me. It is his desire, his aching yearning to invite you to the table. His call brings us to the table, and at his table, Jesus extends his hospitality, his forgiveness, and also his love. Jesus says he calls us and still calling us very passionately. I have eagerly desire. Jesus has taken the initiative as host of the table, and the invitation is given to all who know him, to remember him. In the time of Jesus, to invite someone to your table means that you find that person exceedingly worthy, honorable. So therefore, it was a big deal to be invited. It was a big deal to dine at someone else's table. So therefore, you can imagine that it was a scandal when Jesus decided to dine with lepers, with tax collectors, with prostitutes, and social rejects of his day. While Jesus calls us to the table, let us remember it is not because we, on our part, have already fulfilled some kind of requirements of righteousness, or that in some way we have already met the criteria of God's righteousness, but that in Jesus' saving grace, in entering into our lives and becoming our Lord and Savior, Jesus has qualified us to be sons and daughters of the Most High. He has made us into a part of God's family, the community of faith. And so at communion, Jesus is inviting this community, the body of Christ, the family of God, who has a relationship, personal relationship with him, to dine together at the table. The Bible tells us that Jesus is eager to invite us to fellowship with him. And so therefore, first and foremost, the focus, the emphasis is on Jesus, not on the diversity, the strengths and weaknesses, the differences among the disciples at the time. So therefore, there is a lesson for us. And if so, we came to church and we find that the music today is a little bit less to our liking, or that somehow the order of worship is not quite what we would prefer, or that the friends we usually see on Sunday, somehow they are absent today, or that there are cultural and language differences and difficulties, it is okay. All these are okay. So long as we remember that our focus is on God. So long as we remember that the emphasis is on fellowship with him. How eager is the Lord Jesus to have fellowship with us, to meet with us? You probably remember this verse from Revelation chapter 3. To the believers in the church of Laodicea, Jesus chastised them for their lukewarm faith. In fact, many of them used to be burning hot for him, but somehow they have lost their passion for him. So Jesus expresses his longing for fellowship, and this is his invitation to them and to us today. Jesus says, behold, here I am. I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door to his heart, to his life, I would definitely come in and eat with that person and they with us, they with me. So, brothers and sisters, has your faith become cold? Do you feel that you love God less than before? Is there something or things in this world that is holding you back, that has already distracted you from walking daily, faithfully, and obediently with the Lord Jesus? Jesus is saying that today, even as we gather before his table, he's knocking at your door and he's telling you once more that he eagerly awaits, desires for you to spend time, fellowship with him together. You know, once in a while, it is not a bad idea to imitate Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. In the story of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was interested in Jesus. However, he did not know how hungry he was to be in the presence of Jesus. When Zacchaeus was far and distant on the sycamore tree, satisfied that he finally caught a glimpse of Jesus whom he was interested in, the unexpected happens. It is not so much that Zacchaeus sees Jesus. Zacchaeus is shocked and surprised to know that Jesus, from a distant away, sees him, and that Jesus wants to spend time with Zacchaeus at his house. And we know what a dramatic result it had on Zacchaeus once Jesus came to dine with him, to fellowship with him. In the same way, Jesus is also asking us, are you not inviting me so-and-so? Are you not inviting me into your lives? Jesus is passionate about time together with you. So how long has it been since you last spent time with God or talked to him like good friends do? Communion reminds us that Jesus is eager to come and set things straight. He's knocking. Would you answer? He's knocking. Would I answer? Communion is first and foremost about the presence of the Lord Jesus, not just among us, but in our hearts and in our lives. But if you want to come and meet Christ at his table, be prepared to do a second thing. Be prepared to examine your heart as you approach. Verses 21 and 23 says, but the hand of him, of the person who is going to betray me, is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. And then this is what happened. The disciples began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would betray Jesus. Jesus said something shocking to the face of the disciples. He says that a betrayer is with him at the table. One of the 12 is going to turn unfaithful to him. One of the 12 is going to sell him out. Understandably, having been with Jesus for a little bit over 3 years by now, the disciples are perturbed and question which of them it would be. Somehow it seems that by not naming the person specifically, and we know that it's Judas, Jesus is implying, by not naming Judas specifically at the time, Jesus is implying that it is not important who would betray him. It is not the most important thing who would betray him. But the point is that all the disciples present had the potential and had the opportunity to betray Jesus. That is a somber thought. So at the table of the Lord Jesus, let us remind ourselves that I too have the potential to be the one who betrays the Lord Jesus. So instead of me asking who would betray the Lord Jesus and pointing fingers at others, Jesus says, I should be the one, realizing that I too have the potential to sell God out. Why? Because, truth be told, there is a little bit of Judas in every heart. So communion is not only a time about the presence of God in our lives. Communion is also a time of repentance, a time of confession, a time of acknowledging to God, saying that, Lord, I too am capable of betraying you. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, many times over. There's a story told about the famous Catholic priest and theologian, Henry Nouwen. He was giving communion invitation to the congregation where he was preaching. And people were expecting him to say, only those who profess to be Christians are allowed to receive Holy Communion. Only those who profess to be Christians are allowed to receive Holy Communion. Instead, he said these words, which shocked the people. Only sinners are allowed to receive Holy Communion. You see, dear brothers and sisters, it is good to be reminded that only sinners, repentant sinners, are allowed and encouraged to come to the table of the Lord, to confess our sins, to examine ourselves, and to claim the forgiving power of the Lord Jesus, and ask God to give us strength to walk anew with him. There is yet another thing that we can learn from this passage in Luke chapter 22, that we can pray, or at least start to learn to pray, that God be glorified in my pain, in my darkest moments, in my suffering, and even in my dying moments. Again, in verses 19 to 20, Jesus has this to say. And he took bread, gave thanks, and he broke it, gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. As Jesus is celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples, he was also very definitely looking towards the experience of the cross, which would start hours later. Jesus was connecting the broken bread and the poured out wine to his body and blood to be sacrificed very soon. And instead of looking at the whole thing as the ultimate tragedy, ultimate pain, ultimate betrayal in his life, Jesus somehow found an opportunity to connect all this with pleasing God and giving thanks and acknowledging the Father. Yes, Jesus most clearly and vividly remembered that he would soon be betrayed and flogged. However, at this point in time, celebrating the Passover, Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks. Jesus giving thanks at the moments before breaking and passing of the cup. In doing so, he is affirming that, yes, in life, even in the darkest places of human pain, suffering and rejection, of misunderstanding by other people, of getting up again and yet falling back again in the same places. Jesus saying that in all these places, without exception, there is always the freeing grace of God, that God is always working and he will continue to work and continue to be with his people. So therefore, as Jesus looked towards the cross, and even as he now gives thanks for the bread and for the cup, Jesus brings the two together. So communion is a time when we meet to give thanks for what God did for us in the person of the Lord Jesus. Communion is a time for us to acknowledge and give thanks for the presence of God. Communion is also a time when we learn by God's strength to say that, oh Lord, even in the darkest experience, even in the darkest experience, may I want to learn to be able to connect with you, to seek you out, to be filled with thanksgiving to the God of glory and hope, to the God who saves. It is a very, very difficult lesson, but Jesus says it is doable because there is the Holy Spirit who helps us. This is a testimony from Pastor Atami Kyoti. He was a pastor in Russia, and he was sentenced to 10 years of imprisonment in a concentration camp simply because of his refusal to become a spy for the government. And he found out that, you know, once he was admitted into this prison, that there were also a lot of other prisoners, and many of them were believers, and they were also in prison for no other offense except that they were believers. So one day, one of the Christians received a small package from home. It contained a little bread, which was going a little bit hard and moldy, and also a few apples. So the first thing this guy thought was that maybe finally the chance, the opportunity has come for them to use this bread and the apples for communion remembrance. So he approached Pastor Atami. The pastor thought it was impossible because he fears that the guard would always be checking in on them and that they would definitely interfere. However, this other believer said that it is okay. We have it all worked out. I have already crushed the apples and the juice is in a mug. And that I have also broken the bread's crust into small pieces. They would serve as the cup and they would serve as the bread. And as far as the guards are concerned, we can meet in my prison cell, for it is right in the corner, not visible to the guards. And should the guards come by and they look at us, you know, they would just be thinking that we are just chatting and we were just sharing a cup of water. So Pastor Tommy thought about it, and sort of reluctantly, with a little bit of fear, he consented. So therefore, they gathered together discreetly with other fellow believers in this particular place, corner of the prison. So Pastor Tommy, after reciting scriptures from memory, and this is why we encourage people to recite the Word of God, to memorize it and make it part of your life and your heart. After reciting scriptures from memory, Pastor Atami blessed the bread, blessed the bread, and also the cup of apple juice. And then they passed the cup around. They shared and celebrated the Lord's Supper. What did they have for an altar? It was just a dirty plank of wood. And as far as the pastor, Atami, is concerned, together with his other congregation that day, in that particular corner of the prison, everyone was dressed in rags, prison clothing. And yet, without exception, they realized and they felt the presence of Christ, even in the midst of their confinement, hard labor, and suffering. When he looked back sometime later on, he would always be giving thanks. He would always be humble. He would always be elated and encouraged to have that moment, to have that opportunity to remember God, to thank him, to acknowledge him, even as he was serving his 10 years of prison sentence. O Lord, be glorified in my pain. Be glorified when I'm going through a seemingly endless trial. Be glorified when I'm going through a tough time. O Lord, be glorified. Somehow, communion is an invitation for us to imitate Jesus and pray that whatever happens, let us connect with God. Let us ask God to be glorified, especially when the going is tough. Last but not least, communion reminds us of a glorious anticipation, a special invitation in preparation for us by the Lord. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, Jesus gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourself. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruits of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Twice in these few verses, Jesus said to his disciples that he will not eat and drink again until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus, when he's inviting us to this fellowship of the table, he was also pointing for the disciples and for us believers here today that there is yet another banquet, a greater and more glorious invitation awaiting us. He was able to have that prepared because of his resurrection, the great banquet of eternity and kingdom of God. It is the hope that only Jesus can give. Sometimes I'm saddened by believers who, for one reason or another, no longer attend church. The church is flawed. They've been hurt in the church. The church is filled with sinners, repeating sinners and hypocrites, and so on. All these things are sadly too often true, because the church, redeemed by the Lord Jesus, is also a community of redeemed sinners. But we are not to give up a meeting for worship and communion fellowship. Why? Because somewhere in our future is a seat, a place number at the great banquet with countless other believers in God's kingdom. And when you get there, Jesus reminds us beyond our wildest imagination, what a joyful reunion, what a joyful fellowship at the table, that particular table that will be. Bible tells us that Jesus eagerly awaits to have fellowship with us, to share the elements with us. He's eager to have this meal with us, his followers. And one of the reasons why he's eager is because he was looking toward a meal in the future, a meal he will partake with us, all his children. He eagerly awaits the day. Brothers and sisters, are you eagerly awaiting that day when we would dine all together? Countless generations of believers, but all redeemed, all changed into perfection, all glorious, all filled with praise and worship of God, and all in holiness raiment, sit around the table with the Lord Jesus. There must be a huge or humongous table. How is Jesus going to arrange all the different seatings? Who is going to sit closer to him and who is going to be at the table farthest away from him? None of this is important. Jesus will work it out. But Jesus is saying that, you know, keep worshiping together. Hold to the faith that is in the Bible and learn to obey God. Trust him. Be faithful to him. For one day, you would find that Jesus will make good his promise of making us all guests, honored guests at his table. So let us be eager to meet with the Lord. Let us ask God to create in our hearts a vacuum, a space, some kind of a homesickness for the kingdom of God that we have yet to see and experience ourselves. I'm going to close with this reflection on Luke chapter 22. But in a moment, very soon, Pastor Josh is going to pray for the mission team. This is our special time of prayer together by the people of God. And what a better place, no better opportunity during the service to pray for our summer mission team in connection with communion. Why? I remember someone says that, you know, mission is necessary because Jesus is not worshipped everywhere. Mission is necessary because Jesus is not worshipped everywhere. So therefore, we want to encourage folks and believers to share the Lord Jesus with others, maybe in the form of mission team, maybe in the form of a personal friendship. Let us share the good news of the Lord with those who have yet to hear. And may God bless us because we are obedient to his teaching. And may God bless us because he knows that we want not just to know him, but also to share the news of his salvation with other people too. And I'm going to turn the time over to Pastor Josh to lead us in prayer in a moment.
What a great reminder of what communion is all about, that it's not just a ritual, but that it is centered on the relationship